Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Well, guys, welcome back to Redefined by Love. If you're new here, my name's Jennifer. I'm technically the host of Redefined by Love. If you're just finding this podcast, like this is your first time finding your way here or finding us, what we do here is we create a space where we talk about quite simply the love of God, and we allow that truth, that reality to redefine everything about us, redefine the way we see ourselves, the way we see other people, because ultimately it redefines the way we see Him. And I'm super excited tonight because I have two people I love so much here with me. So first of all, I have like the co-host, Lucia, is on with me here, and she's one of my favorite people. I love her dearly. And then we are going to be blessed by Corey Brewer, and I'm going to let him tell you guys a little bit about himself, like what he's doing, all of the exciting things that he has going on, and most importantly, he's going to tell you a little bit about, you know, what the Lord has done in his life and share an amazing, I'm sure, word from the Lord. And so I'm just going to hand it over to you, Corey.
Awesome. Well, Jen, it's just awesome to be here with you. I honor you. I love your heart. I love, you know, just when I come to Ohio, seeing what y'all are doing, y'all's heart for discipleship. So thank you for what you're doing. Lucia, just met you, but God bless you. You sound like a mighty woman of God. But yeah, it's just an honor to be on here tonight. I love the name of the podcast, about the love of God, because it's all about the love of God. And, you know, that's what we do here at Corey Brewer Ministries. I'll tell you a little bit about what I do is I travel around to different nations. And really my heart is really to teach the body of Christ who they really are. Because as I travel, I really begin to understand that most Christians, even today, don't know how to see themselves as God sees them. So we travel, we teach people the gospel of the grace of God. We believe God is this loving God who chases you down with love and mercy and grace. I don't believe you find God. I believe He finds you. You know, I know in my own life, that's how it was, man. I know at one point in my life, I was locked up, you know, facing 25 years to life. And how I got there was I grew up and my parents were awesome. They loved Jesus, you know, but it was more of this, hey, you need to go to church. Watch out. God's going to get you. It was this judgmental, being scared of God thing. And I really wanted nothing to do with that. And it totally pushed me the other way. And of course, I won't get into this much, but I went into a crazy life. You could imagine, I said I was going to face 25 years of life in prison. But I went in this crazy life of doing everything you could imagine. But then my mama, she did get a hold of some good teaching. I remember my mama looked at me years later after she was getting involved with, you know, some Kenneth Copeland, understanding the love of God more and more. Which was a good foundation even for me. I remember she used to look at me when I was strung out. She'd look at me and she'd say, Corey, you're going to be a mighty man of God in Jesus' name. And I'd be like, I thought she was the one high at the time. You know, I'm like, what? but then I get locked up in 2014. And I remember I was withdrawn off all kinds of drugs. I remember going to take a shower in this little Meek County jail. And I remember lifting my hands to Jesus with just this broken heart. And it's like I cried out to Jesus and he immediately came into my life and he set me free instantly from every addiction. And he began to take me through the word. I was locked up 3 years. It was like Holy Ghost school, but he began to take me through the word and teach me that Christianity is not a religion, but it's a relationship with a Father in heaven who's madly in love with us. And man, when I begin to understand that, why would I not want this God who sent his son to give everything for me? And man, ever since then, we've just been going strong. Like I said, I did 3 years. We're going to different nations, seeing the love of God manifested. Been to Pakistan, been to Dubai, been to Brazil, going to the Philippines. And we just see the love of God manifested in signs and wonders and miracles. I'll tell you a cool testimony. When we were in Pakistan, and let me tell you a testimony about one of what we do. Yes, I lay hands on people and I see a lot of miracles, but one of my things is I want to train others to do the same thing I do. And my heart is, hey, I'm no different than any other person. You have the same Holy Ghost. You have the same thing. If I can do it, you can do it. So we're in Pakistan, and this is hilarious. If you know Pakistan's culture, the women, you're kind of put down under the man over there. So I intentionally, in one of our meetings, there's this guy, he can't lift his shoulder at all, right? So I'm like, okay. And I think the Holy Spirit gets a kick out of this. I do. So I call this little 11-year-old girl up, right? And there's all kinds of pastors. So we're in Pakistan, right? This doesn't happen. So I had this little 11-year-old girl lay hands on this guy's shoulder. This guy's shoulder gets healed instantly, and he's going like this. And all these pastors are just shocked because they don't think a 11-year-old girl that believes in Jesus can even do this. They don't even think women can do this. But of course, we go over there and we tell them, hey, there's neither male nor female in Christ. Hey, it doesn't matter. You can walk like Jesus, male or female. But so that's my heart, just to not only drench people in the love of God, but to show people that God will use them just like he uses Jesus. And I honestly believe this is the cry of the Father's heart. Is to go into all the world and share the love of God. And really, miracles are just a byproduct of love. Right? I mean, they're just a byproduct of us loving people. I mean, when you begin to see yourself right, that actually empowers you to see others right. And then you're moved in that compassion. Paul says something so interesting in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 5:16. He says, I judge no man according to the flesh. Right? I judge no man. So think of that. Well, how are you seeing them, Paul? Well, he's seeing everyone through their original intent. What was God's original intent for humanity? It was, every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. And man, that is what we scream from the rooftop everywhere we go. Hey, Jesus did not just come to take you to heaven, right? He came to restore humanity to the original image they were created to be. And that's his image. And that's his likeness. I'll pause for a second if you want to ask any questions or...
You know, I think that's good. So this is what I always think about. And I definitely, you know, I'm more teacher than anything, so I'm not going to go on a tangent here. But that verse you just spoke on, 2 Corinthians 5:16. I think we love to read 5:17, right? We love that verse. And it's an awesome verse. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's one of my favorites. I read it pretty consistently. But 5:16, it says, and if you read it in the Passion, which of course I do, it says, we refuse, you know, and whenever I first started looking at that, I'm like, that word is so important to me, right? Because it is a choice that we have, really, to say, I'm not going to look at what's in front of me, right? Because I'm not governed by this realm. I'm not governed by these realities. And so one of the things I want to talk to you about specifically, because I know you move in a lot of healing and deliverance and stuff like that at these meetings that you go to, which quite frankly, it's just absolutely necessary, especially to some of these places in the world that you're going, right?
Right.
But how do you feel like in your experience, it affects one's ability to believe for the healing and for these realities, right? The scripture literally says that Jesus already, like we it's finished, right? We know it's finished. So how do you believe somebody's ability to see beyond the temporal things, we'll say, and really like look into the spiritual realities of a situation? How does that affect our ability to receive healing? I guess that's the question I want to ask you. So, your thoughts.
So I know me, mm-hmm. like I'll engage my imagination, right? Mm-hmm. I think the imagination is something we really leave out. Like, we're always looking at our outer circumstances, right, and perceiving things by what we see with these eyes, not realizing that we change our circumstances by what we see with our spiritual eyes, which is our imagination. And like, even like some of these, like I see myself not necessarily in Pakistan, but speaking to thousands of people and, mm-hmm. and people getting healed and stuff like that before I ever saw it out here. Why? Because I was seeing it in the spiritual realm, which, you know, a lot of people don't like the word imagination. You can say your spiritual eyes. You know, Paul talked about in Ephesians, he says, you know, light up your spiritual eyes. That's paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. I like what it says in the Passion there. It talks about bring light to your imagination, yep. Right?
One of my favorite verses, by the way.
Right? And we all know the scripture, Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, guess what? So is he. So even as you were saying, even receiving healing, mm-hmm. saying if maybe you're not ministering, but you're wanting to receive healing. Well, I've been through journeys even in my own life of, okay, I'm seeing all these people healed, Lord, but I'm going through this. And it's like, the Lord's taught me, you have to, like, I take time, I sit with the Lord, and I simply just see myself healed, see myself doing things I couldn't do before, see myself eating food that I wasn't able to eat for a while, right? But I'm seeing it. And as I'm seeing it and practicing it, that movie becomes more real than even what I'm seeing on the outside. Think about this. Paul said this. He says, I don't look at the things that are seen, but I look at the things that are unseen. So Paul, you're looking at something. Where are you looking at? And he's the one that's like, when he's in prison in Acts, he's like, I think myself happy, right? Yeah. So he was engaging his spiritual eyes.
Absolutely.
See, we have to understand that we control our reality by the thoughts that we have in our imagination. That's how much authority and power the Lord has given us, right? He's finished it, but now it's up to us to walk in it through. And it really does start with the power of your imagination.
Yes. Yes. I love that verse, and I love it in the Passion, because it says, I pray that the Lord would illuminate the eyes of your imagination, right? Yes. Like our eyes have to be opened to the possibilities of it, right? And the faith comes by hearing. It applies here, right? So if we're constantly hearing and saying and speaking all of these things and really believing and immersing ourselves in a different, like a lie, you know, what's not true in that spirit realm, then we reframe reality. Like we reframe what our lives look like. And I think that's an uncomfortable thing to say, because I'd much rather just feel like, you know, I'm a victim and this is just happening to me, right? Than have to take responsibility and say, you know what? It started somewhere, and you touched the nail there on it. And we do, like, I spend a lot of time, like, in these podcasts talking about the mental, because Paul spent a lot of time talking about renewing of the mind and the power of the way we think and the power of what's going on. And she's like, yes, we talk about that so much.
Yes, we do.
But yes, so I 100% agree with what you said there. Lucia, did you write something down? Do you want to ask him something? I thought I saw you write something down.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, the verse was Proverbs 23:7. Is that what it was?
Okay. Yes.
Nope, that's what I wrote down.
You're writing the verse. Okay. Well, I'll kick it back to you, Corey.
And you know, it's like the body of Christ, we're failing because we're always trying to give people a list of rules and tell them what they need to do before, instead of telling them who they are and what they need to believe, right? And if we would get it down and we would begin to tell people who they are, they would produce the works without effort, right? I mean, think of this. An apple tree, right? Why does it produce apples? Because its nature is to produce apples. So if our nature changed and we're a new creation in Christ, instead of telling people, hey, don't do this, don't do that, if I begin to tell people, hey, you're the righteousness of God, you're holy, you're loved by God, hey, you might have did that, but guess what? That's not who you are. You're still holy, you're still righteous. If we begin to tell people that, they'll begin to take on their original identity, and they'll begin to live for God because they want to, not because they feel like they have to. And I've even found from traveling that, you know, most people, they really don't understand the love of God, or most of the body of Christ doesn't serve God, is because they've been scared into the kingdom instead of loved into the kingdom. Right?
And I have a question, because I'm going to ask you this because I know you're an evangelist at heart, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you, and I have my opinion, but I'm going to keep my opinion back. I'm going to just ask you for yours, okay? Do you think that we could preach the gospel without talking about hell?
I think the gospel, in its original intent, doesn't even mention hell. Hell is nowhere in the gospel. And do I have scripture for that? Absolutely. The scripture,
of course. There's tons of scripture for that.
Absolutely.
We could have a 24-hour Zoom with just the scripture and the realities of that. Here's why I asked that question, because you said something that I find so profound. You said people have been scared into the kingdom. And if you use the risk of punishment, and that is the only foundation you have, like if I ask a Christian, a person that professes to know Jesus, and I say, well, why do you follow him? And their answer is, I want to go to heaven when I die. I know that I'm not really talking to somebody that knows him, because I would follow Jesus if no one ever told me about hell. It's just because the scriptures say the kindness of God leads us to repentance. His love is actually what it is. And it's really a revealing of the co-seatedness that we have in him that like shatters everything else. For me, that it shatters everything else because it's like, wait a minute. I use this analogy and then I'm going to throw it back to you, I promise. I use this analogy. I say, what if I gave you a bank account that had $1 million in it, but you never looked in that bank account and you never knew there was $1 million in it. And so you went through the rest of your life living off of whatever you normally have in your bank account, not knowing you're a millionaire. That's kind of how life is before we know Jesus. Right. Like we're a millionaire. We've got access to this whole different life that we've never fathomed, but we don't know. And so all we're doing is saying, hey, let me point you. Let me shine a light on this truth, right? And unveiling it. That's it. Isn't that fun? Like just to unveil like to people like, hey, you're a millionaire.
Right. And that's right? What we're doing. Yeah.
Go ahead, Corey.
That's the gospel, right? We're showing people who they are. And I got this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, and God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. And here he gives us what the gospel is and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. And then the next verse is the gospel. In other words, it was through the anointed one that God was shepherding the world, not all of this, not even keeping records of their transgressions. Another version says, not holding people's sins against them. So what's the gospel? Guess what? Jesus has canceled your sins and he's brought you back into relationship with God. And now he's brought you into the Godhead and made you everything that he is. That's the gospel. I love this prayer that Jesus prays for the whole church in John 17, 20 through 23, when he's like, Father, as I'm in you and you're in me, make them one. It's like, what? He made us one with himself. And then he goes on to say that then the world will believe that you sent me. Why does most of the world don't believe that Christians are sent by Jesus? Because they don't believe they're one with God. And when you believe in separation, you don't have the ability to look like God. You don't have the ability to be imitators of him. But when you believe in that union, just like all these crusades I do and all these miracles, I'm telling you, I know it has nothing to do with me, but Jesus lives in me. And here's the trick. On even my worst day, he'll move just as much on my worst day as he will my best day. Because it's not based on anything I do. It's based on everything Jesus has already done. I mean, that's the gospel. Like you said, we're millionaires. He's given us the kingdom. You know, all these places of God, send your kingdom. I'm like, don't you know the kingdom's in you, right? Didn't Jesus say, he says, don't look here, don't look there, but the kingdom of God shall be within you in Luke 17, 21?
Yeah.
And I love what he goes on in verse 22. Man, I love John 17. I just feel a power of God over here. My goodness. And I love what he says in verse 22. And he says, in the same glory which you gave me, I have given them. Think about that. The same glory that God gave Jesus, Jesus gave us. But yet, we're asking for the glory. I'm like, hey, we're not Moses, right? We're not like right. Moses. God, show me your glory. It's like, we are the glory. You want to see the glory, right. God, I tell people, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
100%.
It's like, get up and be like, oh my God, there's the glory, right?
Yeah.
There it is. And I love what Paul says in Ephesians 1:17. He says, you're the father of what? Glory. So he's the father of glory. Who's he the father of? You, me. Yeah. So I'm the glory. It's like, man, everyone all I have to do, go around me and share what I already have. I mean, God is so good to us. And then here's another one that really gets people wound up. In verse 23, he goes on to say that he's made us perfect. Perfect. And you know, you begin to tell other Christians that, well, I'm not perfect. I'm still growing in this and growing in that. But you don't understand. You are perfect because it's not about how you see yourself. It's about what the blood of Jesus has done for you. And I always tell people this. I said, you don't quit pleading the blood of Jesus. Realize it's a waterfall that you constantly stand under. And it's constantly saying, holy, righteous, forgiven, healed, delivered, peace, joy. That's why you're perfect, because the blood's constantly cleansing you. Even when you don't ask for it, it's constantly cleansing it in you. God sees you as if sin never even existed. I mean, that's the gospel, Jennifer.
That is the gospel. That is. So let me ask you this. Like, in a world where we preach the gospel, and listen, I just, a bunch of those verses that you just shared, we talked about them yesterday morning, because I talked about this, you know, this reality of how God reconciled humanity in Christ, right? In himself, really, right? And so there is no... there's no new work that we need in order to be reconciled to him, right? And so one of the things that I noticed, though, is that we constantly seem to be stuck in, like what you just said, well, I'm not perfect. I still have this, or I still have that, or I still struggle with this, or I still, I haven't gotten it yet, you know? And so I find that there's a lot of, and I'm going to say this to Lucia, because she's on the line with us here, and I know you'll agree with this, but you are just as much the righteousness of God as he is, or as I am. It's not different because you're a minister, or you're ordained, or you are a leader, or whatever. It's your babies. Your babies are equally the glory of God, right? We are the manifestation of his glory. So if we're like, I want to see his glory, right? I want to see his glory. All I've got to do is like look in the mirror. All I've got to do is look at my children. Look at you, right? I can look at you and I see the glory of God, right? And I think we make this like super spiritualization of it. And it's like, oh, that person is so powerful when they come, this and that. But the glory of God is in the days that you're, like we've talked about this, the days that you're at home making like cereal. Like that's the holy place, right? So once we tear down all these ideas, like it will become easier for you to be like, you know what? I'm looking at this person and I see something. Like I can see something, and they don't know who they are, but I can see it, right?
Right.
Once you be able to, you learn that and you trust that, and you're not like, oh, well, ugh, maybe I should ask Jen if she sees. No, don't ask Jen.
Come on.
Right? He's like he's all in there. There's no like removing him from you. It's over. It's done.
It's done.
So you can see it just like Corey can see it, just like I can see it, just like Teresa or anyone else that we could point out. You can see it. It's the same, that same righteousness. And I think that message right there, I'm going to be honest, when I first met you, I think that was the message that I most resonated with, because I hadn't heard other people say it, to be honest with you. And I'm not speaking on anybody else. I'm saying we move in that message. We totally believe that, right? But then when you came in and you're preaching that, I'm like, oh my God, like he's basically one of us. Like, because most of the time when I hear people preach, they're not They're not preaching that message. Not that you have the righteousness of God, but you are the righteousness of God, which is different.
Yeah.
Which is different. And you know what I wanted to talk about, though, from what you shared about when you were a child, like younger, where you talked about fearing God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the fear of God. And I would love to hear you talk about what the difference is between those, because there is a difference. And I know you know.
Sure. So fearing God, like when I was a kid, is I was scared of him, meaning I wouldn't come to him about my problems. But the healthy fear of the Lord is you're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of how much he loves you. That's the fear of the Lord. And how do you know that you're really in awe and of fear of the Lord? You can't shut up about what he's done for you.
Yeah.
Right. And you remind, because that's it. And you bring me right back to this verse I sent my pastor earlier. And let me go to it. It's 2 Corinthians 5:11 in the Passion Translation. And it says, since we are those who stand in holy awe of the Lord, we make it our passion to persuade others to turn to him. See, it's when you stand in holy awe of who he is that the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, right? Christ died for us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've done a lot of bad things in the dead me. When I started to read scriptures like Hebrews 10:17, it says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I don't even remember. I was like, oh my goodness, this amazing God doesn't even remember my sin, and he sees me as if sin didn't even exist. So to me, that's really the fear of the Lord. It's just being in awe, being burning for him, and just, man, honoring him in everything that you do, wanting to say what he wants to say, wanting to do what he wants to do.
That is just, I think that's the perfect way to explain it. That's probably what I would have said, you know, that the fear of the Lord is actually a reverence and awe, you know, and amazement of his nature, just his nature, you know, like, I think the thing that I have most been changed by with the Lord, right, is this, this move from what growing up, because I kind of sort of grew up in the church too, maybe not totally, but I remember getting this message of like, you know, God was mad.
Yeah.
And he was so mad at us that Jesus had to take it, you know, and we have a whole, you know, we could have a whole discussion on that, but really it was the separation between him and the Lord, you know, between God and the Son. And it was the coming to the reality that Jesus is the judgment of God. Jesus is what God thinks of us. Jesus is what God feels about us. There is no separate, okay, I'm the bad guy, he's the good guy, right? like they're both the good guy. And so I was totally changed by acceptance. Right. In that state, I think you touched on something beautiful there, because you read the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners. Right. Well, not once you got it together and got cleaned up and got your life together, then he. No. He accepted you before. Well, you just didn't know it.
Right.
That part is life changing. And I would love to talk about that, especially considering like where, you know, where you were at the time when you really became aware of these truths. Like you were in a different place than I was, right? I wasn't in that place. But even for me, it was for a long time, I could say God loves us collectively. But I could not say he loved me, because I didn't think I me was worthy of that, right? Mm-hmm. And when I got out of that, it was like a crash. It crashed into what I believed. And I'm wondering if you felt something similar to that, if it was kind of like that, like, wait, what?
Yeah.
This totally wrong.
Yeah. Especially like I said, when I was locked up and I began to read the scriptures and God began to teach me, right, who I was, and began to read all these scriptures. Man, you're not remembering my sins. I'm the righteousness of God. I love what Hebrews 10:10 says. I actually had it right here. And in the Passion, it says, oh man, I thought I was there. Hold on real quick. It says, by God's will, I love that. By God's will, we have been purified and made holy once and for all. And you read that, you're like, hold on, I'm holy? After everything I've done in my life, all the drugs I've used, all the people I've stolen from, all the things I've done, I'm holy. And I begin to get this revelation that it's not about me, but it's about the blood of Jesus. And what God believes to be true about me. You see, that's the gospel. It's not what do you believe about yourself? It's what does God believe to be true about you? And I love what the Mirror translation says. In Romans 3:22, it says, Jesus is what God believes about you.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus is what God believes about you. And I'm like, man, I remember being locked up and I'm just like, just so on fire. I remember even when I was locked up, I'm laying hands on people, starting Bible study. I mean, just like, oh my goodness. Because I was reading the book of Acts and I was getting the understanding, hey, I can do this. Nobody ever told me growing up, I can do this. I can live this. I never saw anybody healed. I might have heard a tongue and interpretation, but I never saw deliverance. I never experienced the power of God. But I started to experience this relationship with Jesus when I was locked up that just totally revolutionized my life.
Totally changed it.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, I can attest that this is not, and I'm not saying that this is true about some people, but it is. This is not a, okay, there's a camera going and I'm on this podcast, so I'm going to be like this. Like, he's like this. Like, we went to lunch with him when he came in for a visit one time, and he literally prayed for everybody we walked past. There was no... well, this one I'll pray for, but this one, like, it was just, it's like I said, the night we brought him to the recovery house, he prayed for everybody in the recovery house, even the women that didn't come to the meeting. Right? So this is authentic change, right? This is like from the inside out change. This is, I was totally different and I met Jesus. And literally, he did redefine everything for you, right? Would you say that? Yeah. I mean, you're a great husband, you know, you're an honorable man. And that's all I know you to be. It's hard for me to imagine any other version of you, quite frankly. I struggle.
and you know, this is what the church has to understand, is it's not you try to be that. It's that, like we talked about, I am righteous. I am holy. So guess what? Me acting that way is just who I am.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of the church, they think they're trying to become something. You're not trying to become anything. You're a completed work. You're just learning to grow in who you already are. Like I like to look, like to put it like this, a baby when it's born, right? It has all its fingers and toes. But as it grows, it learns how to use all its body parts. Well, it's the same way in Christianity. When we're born again, as we learn who we are, and we learn to walk in, or learn to walk in who we were created to be, right? And so what I'm getting to is we're learning to operate in who we already are, like a baby knows to get new parts, right? So. Yeah,
it comes. And you know, I like that. I've heard you speak before about you know, how we're born of that incorruptible seed, right?
Oh, yeah.
It can't be, you know, it can't be tainted. Like, you will manifest Christ. It's not a if you will, it's you will. It's a matter of you just, yeah, saying, you know what, I surrender to this thing. Like, yeah. It's like an ocean. You know, I had, speaking of Chelsea, like last night she prayed for me and she's like, I see you. And she's like, you're standing on the beach and there's no water in the ocean and you're trying to control the water. And she's like, but then the water just comes and like, there's no control of the water. Like, you're taken away by the water, you know? Right. And to me, that's only, I would know that that's the Lord talking to me, because he constantly talks to me in that language of water and rivers and oceans. Like, that's how he talks to me. But that's really what it's like. It's like you just get taken away by the flood, you know? Yeah. And that's how I, a person that is very controlled, typically, right? I can be very cognitive if I let myself, right? But a person like me or my sweet little Lucy here, very thought driven, right? Sometimes. But when you just let yourself like realize, like, wait, I'm in this river and I'm just going to be taken by the river anyway. And you're just like, all right, why not? Let's go.
Let's go
wherever. Let's whatever comes. Right. I just think that's a beautiful story. I think it's a beautiful story of how, you know, the Lord, spoke, and that 3 years is so prophetic. Like, I'm not even gonna, but it is. It's so prophetic that, you know, you were there for 3 years, and you know that's also the amount of time that Paul was in the wilderness, having that Pharisaical mindset shifted. You know, and so that time you were there, the Lord was just undoing.
Yeah.
Whatever didn't belong, like, goodbye. and just imparting from the inside out this truth, right? And so you do have that heart to not only be the one to be the conduit, which is a word I'm getting comfortable using for what we are, really, for healing for somebody, right? But also getting that message in their head that this isn't because I'm some super Christian. This isn't, you know, I'm not elite status and you're lower level. That doesn't exist. You can do it too. So that's the part that I was like super blown away by too. is that heart to bring others into that and see them begin to like walk that out. And yeah. I love that. And I don't know, you go ahead, whatever else you feel like.
Well, just like I have a home church where we train people. Mm-hmm. And man, there's this little guy, my buddy Noah, he's about 8 or actually it might be 9 or 10, but when he was 6, we would take him to Walmart with us. And I remember we ran into this one lady one time, she had arthritis all through her hands. And he had watched me, as you know, I always like blow the Holy Ghost on people. Well, he goes up to this lady, he takes her hands and he starts going. And he's saying, be healed in Jesus' name. And this lady is healed instantly. Now, this is a 6-year-old. And I could go on. I've seen 11 of 14. So there's no junior Holy Ghost. It don't matter how young, how old, male, female, it's the same Jesus. And there's this powerful scripture in Romans 8:29. It talks about that everyone was predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And really, that's even one thing that saddens me even about the church is in Ephesians 11 through 15, I'll just kind of paraphrase, when it says all the fivefold ministry, what are they supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be growing the body up into the fullness of Christ to do the work of the ministry, In other words, a minister's job is to work themselves out of a job, to train disciples to do the same thing and even greater than they're doing.
Yep.
And then verse 15 goes on to say that we're all growing up into him. And I love that. We're all growing up into him, not in him, but into him. And in that word in the Greek, it means the same purpose and the same result. And you know, this is why we don't see the harvest coming in like it should be, is because we don't have enough training of teaching people who they are and what they already have and how to manifest that. So again, that's really why this is my heart, to see a generation that can work at Walmart and go to Walmart and see his coworkers born again, see his coworkers healed. I mean, when I was managing, when I first moved up here to go to Rhema Bible College, and I was help managing at a restaurant, and man, I would see people touched by the power of God, healed, almost got fired for that. But guess what? That should be a normal Christian's life, to be manifesting the power of God every day. Romans 8:19, it says that the whole earth groans and waits on the manifestation of the sons of God. But yet we're still waiting on a manifestation of God. Well, the manifestation of God was 2,000 years ago. Right now it's your turn to manifest. I tell people, you ain't waiting on revival. You are revival. You're not waiting on an atmosphere. You are the atmosphere. And we have to get this revelation that, man, I am Jesus in manifestation on this earth. Who I am. As he
that, that's so hard for it should not be, right? And I think that's the thing that is sobering, quite frankly, is that we're having these conversations, right? And to some people, they'll hear this and they'll say, oh, that's some higher level of a discussion, and it's not like it literally is just the gospel. If I could design like a quote Christian 101 class, this would be it. Like, that's what these conversations are, because this is the requirement to fathom anything else. If I'm still thinking that I need to pray the Lord into an atmosphere, right? Then I have not understood the gospel, which is fine. It's not, you know, it's not a critique, but it's a truth, because if I'm still thinking, oh, I'm having this issue, I need to ask Corey to pray for me because Corey has the healing anointing, right? You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be like that. Like, we should be, as a church, really beyond that point, you know. But I do believe that what's happening right now, you know, without not going to get into all of it, just in general, like with the body of Christ, is I do think that the Lord is bringing us into a deeper level of maturity. Where I believe what you're saying, like growing up into Christ, right? Because the body is supposed to function with the fullness and dimensions of Christ. So we should literally be in operation in the earth as the Christ.
Amen.
Not praying for and hoping someday we have this manifestation, right? Which is just one component of it. But I think that the thing that is going to shift the church, right, is I think that we've tried to dissect the body. We've tried to dissect it and say, okay, well, I'll take the word, but I don't need the move, you know? Yeah. Or I'll be all about the move, but I don't need the word. Or I'll be all about the prophetic, but I don't really need the... Like, I think that when we get to a point where we're like, you know what? I need the word and I need to equip people to, you know, like I need both. It's not either or. it's this and, right? And so I think that's where we're moving to. Like, and I think that's what you've touched on here is like that space of like saying, yeah, it's the word, but it's also taking that 11-year-old into Walmart, you know?
Yeah.
And not only teaching or showing him how to do it, but trusting him, because that there's a certain level of that, of you trusting him, that begins to build confidence in him.
Sure.
Right. Because he's like, oh, well, he believes I can do this. Right. So any thought that may come that like you're too young, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to you because Corey believes I can do this. Sure. Right. To some point. Right. So I think that's a beautiful picture. I think we need more of that, quite frankly. Lucia, you said, do you have anything you want to say? Thoughts?
I mean, I can just very much agree that for, oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. For some reason, it said it was unstable, so I wasn't sure.
This is probably your internet isn't that fast.
It's not.
It's okay,
great.
We hear you.
I want to say that from the time that I started my healing journey, there were 2 years went by that I thought that I was trying to reach a certain space, a certain persona that I was supposed to be. I was trying to be this person. And that's just the way that I think I was taught also in certain churches, that there's ranks, you know, this person's got, you know, that healing power. We don't, because, you know, we sin a little bit more, or we sin differently, or, right. You know, whatever.
Right,
it is. It really is. That's what I was going to say, too. For a long time, I was trying to live up to somebody that my mom was going to love and be this person that I was trying to be somebody that wasn't actually just me, you know, just me, with my own power, with my own glory, you know. And now that I realize that I don't actually have to change anything, because God, I'm already perfect in the way that He's made me. So that's where my healing has really, really changed. And I can say that since I started believing that, I think I've gained everything that I ever lost and more. And much more than I ever had. So I am definitely a testimony to that as well.
Come on, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's I can tell you that, like, even in the last year since we started, like, there's so much of, like, even like with the acceptance thing, right? And really coming into rest, like, I can 100% attest that that was a, you know, that was a an obstacle, if you will, that just
Definitely.
Fell. It just fell down, you know. It just bowed.
Right.
which is what they do. They bow, right? Because they cannot stand against the revelation of Jesus. It's just, there's nothing that can. I'm curious, Corey, what your thoughts are about, like, what she shared, if you have any thoughts.
Anything? Man, no. I mean, I just think it's awesome that you learned who you are, and it's not about what you do. First scripture that came into my mind was Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It talks about that in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it goes on to say, and you're complete in Him. So if you're complete, as you said, you start to see yourself as perfect. Guess what? There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking in your life. You're a finished work. And when you begin to see yourself that way, it changes everything. Because no longer do you try to work to become something, but you have the ability to come to God boldly now, because you know you're not missing anything. And that empowers you to have intimacy with Him and to experience him. So it's the most powerful revelation that you can have. It's the gospel, right? I mean, Paul says in Romans 1:16-17, he goes on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. And then verse 17, he says, there in it is revealed the righteousness of God. Or you could say is revealed the likeness of God or the perfection of God or the original intent of God, which was to restore you to the original image you were created to be. So I love your story, Lucia. And I'm just encouraged that God's just going to continue to rock your world with his love. He's going to overwhelm you more than you can even imagine.
Oh, for sure.
I believe it.
Yeah. She knows that 100%.
And you know, Jen, this was coming across my mind too. You know, going back to discipleship and what we teach, you know, the Lord gave me three steps to discipleship that are really important that I really use even in my home group is, and this is what Jesus did too. He taught. Number one is teaching. Number two is demonstration. Number three is activation. Think about Jesus. He went around and taught. He demonstrated healing. Then he sent his disciples out.
Ew. Yeah.
You know, see that's what we have to do. One of the biggest things I see missing is there might be teaching, there might even be demonstration, but activation is one of the most powerful things you can do with people. Even in my home church, like we'll do like different exercises. We might line five people up against the wall. They're all close their eyes. We'll have somebody get in front of them, tap them on their shoulder. They can't open their eyes. They don't know if you're a boy. They don't know if you're a girl, but you have to begin to prophesy over them. Wow, we're teaching them to hear the voice of God. We might have them lay hands on each other, but or we might have them sit and we'll paint a picture of the throne room of God through the word of God, and we'll paint a picture in their imagination. Then we'll let them go into their own experience with God. So one of the things I really see lacking is just activate the believers. Right?
Yeah.
Some of the most powerful things I believe that we need to start doing.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. Actually, I think we're starting to do that a little bit with this one for sure. She's like, you know, I see where doing that, you know, really kind of early on, you know, like immediately, if that's how I would say it, you know, because that's kind of how I was raised, if you will, spiritually. Like, I was like, okay. and then it was, hey, do this, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to, and so I did have that experience, which is very not common. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I think usually what we're taught is you have to sit there and you have to get yourself together or, you know, get yourself in the pretty little package. And then once you're the pretty package, then you can begin to, you know, do this or that. And I honestly think that's where people lose their fire sometimes. Like, they're like, I just been sitting here for 25 years, you know, listening to pastor every Sunday and every Wednesday. I had a word, you know, I have a word that's in my spirit that I want to release, that I want to share, that I want to, you know, or I'm passionate about seeing people healed. But I've just been told I need to sit on it, you know, for so long that I just got used to sitting, you know, like so I think that's one thing that was different with my experience personally, is I didn't have that experience. Like, there was no, oh, you've got to sit until you've been here for 20 years. And then once you've been here for 20 years, then you can go. So I definitely see what you're saying with the activations. And I, I look forward to doing more of that stuff. That's an interesting exercise, though.
Yeah, it stretches people.
No, that is an interesting exercise for sure. I think what I tend to do is like, we'll like put on like soaking music or something and say, okay, ask the Lord to show you something, right?
That's acclimation too, yeah.
Yeah, and she responded to that, like, she's like, he actually showed me something. like it was surprising, like, yeah, he talks to you. Like, he likes you. He likes to talk to you, right?
Well,
so, yeah, but I think more activations. I think that if you do come in, it'd be cool to do some stuff, you know, like out in the city.
Sure.
Maybe come when it's not cold. Don't come in January.
No, I don't like the cold.
This is not Oklahoma. We get winters here.
Yeah, I don't want no part of that. I'll stay away then. No snow for me.
Well, I'm wondering, do you have anything else you wanted to share, Corey? Like, in kind of like more of a closing thing?
If I could just encourage the people who watch this, is, man, just get alone with Jesus. I know one of the most powerful things I do is Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that he is God. And one of the most powerful things you can do is just put on some instrumental music, sit with him, learn to quiet your soul and let him love you. Sometimes we want to be talking all the time, but no, you just need to sit there, focus on your union with Christ and let God love you. When I do that, I'm telling you, I come out empowered more. When I do that, knowing something happened, but don't know what happened, I just know that I grew. I can't explain it, but you come out of there empowered with the love of God, with the peace of God, with the joy of God. Why? You're hanging out with the one who created you. When you hang out with him, you become like him. So that would be, I just encourage you to just be with Jesus. Know that he loves you. Know that he sees you as he sees himself. So, yeah.
That's true. That like I said, that helped me a lot. She knows I'm always talking about that. I really didn't tell him to say this stuff, I promise. Well, I guess, do you want to pray just like a quick prayer over whoever watches this? Just like, you know, whatever you feel, like whatever you feel.
Yeah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for your love for your people. Jesus, I thank you that right now you just tangibly overwhelm everyone with your presence, with your love, with your mercy, with your grace, God. And Father, anyone who watches this podcast, Lord, that has any sickness, I speak to any sickness, I speak to any disease, I speak to any foul spirits in the name of Jesus. I just command you to leave right now. I command total wholeness, God. Father, I thank you for visitations, Lord. I just loose angels. I just loose the love of God, the laughter of God. Just thank you, Father, for your love. You're so beautiful, Jesus. We just honor you. Holy Spirit, wow. We love you. We love you, God. I just bless Jen and Lucia, Lord. Wow. Do something special for them tonight in their dreams, God. In Jesus' name, amen.